morning. This morning our scripture reading will come from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16. Actually, the last five verses of Matthew 28. It's probably the best way I can remember it. Last five verses of Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse 16. The 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age." May the Lord bless those that hear, read, and obey his commandments.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see you here. Good to have our visitors with us and people that we haven't been able to have with us for a while. It's good to have you back. We have our slide behind you, which I made and found out when I got up here that it's a little bit too long for the format, but it's the only one like that, so don't worry. They're all going to fit after this. But I thought it would be nice to have something nice to look at. Is that all right? Do you like it? Okay, I majority vote. Okay, gotcha. Okay. All right. Today I want to talk about discipleship. And since I've been here, I've talked a lot about encouragement and love and being good to each other, faithfulness. And in every lesson, there's a piece of discipleship. So it's kind of funny to just make a lesson on discipleship. And in a way, it might seem elementary to you. But I hope that you'll find something good in this. And what I've done is I've gone through the book of Matthew. And just through the book of Matthew, I have pulled out ideas about discipleship. And I actually had to skip some in order to make it fit. And so what I've got here is for this morning and also for this evening as I'm just running through the book of Matthew. You'll see that I don't always do it in the order that it was written, and that's for a purpose. Like, for example, the first few slides are they're just to get us started. And so I actually jump all the way to the end where it talks about the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee. Now, the reason I do this is because this was a pivotal point in the history of the world. This was just after Jesus had been crucified and was risen from the dead. And I just want you to see his words at this pivotal point in history. It says the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some were doubtful. Now, this is because some of the women had seen him, and he told them, "You tell the guys to meet me there." So they met him there. Some were doubtful, maybe still a little bit confused about what had happened, but as they recognized him, they worshiped him. Had he not been God, the Son of God, it wouldn't be appropriate to worship him, but they understood who he was. And Jesus came up to him at this pivotal point in history. He came up to them and he spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So here at this pivotal point in history, he is talking to his disciples about going and making other disciples. I've pointed out before that when Luke writes the book of Acts, he calls some men disciples who were not yet baptized into Christ. As he found those men that were only having the baptism of John, and Paul talks to them, he says, "Well, what were you baptized into?" And they said, "The baptism of John." But Luke refers to them in his writing as disciples. A disciple technically means one who is learning. But as you expand on the idea of disciple, you also have one who is learning, one who is becoming like his teacher, and one who is reproducing in the sense of making other disciples too. So here at this pivotal point in history, Jesus is telling his closest followers to go and make disciples of all the nations, to baptize those disciples so that they can have salvation, because baptism is for the forgiveness of sins, and then to continue to teach those disciples now baptized to do all the things that Jesus was teaching them. Certainly, some things are different in the fact that these men that Jesus had been speaking to, these 11, held the office of apostle. So they're different than us, but also there are some of the things that they did that we are to do. If you go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the building up of the church, for the equipping of the saints, to works of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. And the whole idea is that we follow through with what they started. So being a disciple today includes following through. I mentioned the other day that one of the women in Topeka, when she had felt like the church had reached a certain level where it was doing good things, it was growing, and she said, well, what's next? What's the next level? And I really think this is the next level, is that each one of us individually be better disciples. Let us work on ourselves. Let us let Jesus change us into what he wants us to be. We learn, we're baptized for forgiveness. We follow Jesus, we learn, we follow Jesus, we teach, we follow Jesus, step by step, we follow Jesus. Amen? That's the process, and it never ends. We continue and continue on and on. I'm going to use this little one right down here. Okay. A disciple learns and grows and becomes. So who should I be a disciple to? You know, there are a lot of people in my life that I could say I looked up to, and some that I could say I looked up to as a negative example. Have you ever seen someone who to you was a negative example? Like, oh, I don't really want to be like that person. But then there are these other people in your life that you look up to as a positive example. I do want to be like that person. But of all the examples and persons that we could look up to or emulate or be a disciple to, there's really only one that we should be a true disciple too, and that's Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's the one who is the Son of God, the one in whom the Father is well pleased, the one whom the Father says, you listen to him. Even Mary, his mother, gave one command in the Bible. She told people, whatever he tells you, you do it. That was at the wedding feast in Cana. Who should I be a disciple to? I should be a disciple only of one who is worthy to learn from, grow into, and become like. Jesus is the one who best meets and exceeds all qualifications of one whom we had ought to follow. That is why I'm a disciple of Jesus. Jesus saves. Matthew 1:21. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus fulfills prophecy. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Jesus is a king that we can worship. Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. Jesus is a ruler and a shepherd. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Jesus is God's son, and God loves him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus invites people to follow him and work with him as fishers of men. Now as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Large crowds liked to follow Jesus. Large crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis and Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. Jesus' disciples are blessed to be ones who can glorify God. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Jesus' disciples can be made perfect like God. Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, we know that as people who have sinned, We have fallen short of the glory of God. We haven't lived up to what He made us to be. We missed the mark with our arrow, so to speak. But in the blood of Jesus Christ, we are cleansed. When we are baptized into Christ, it is for the forgiveness of sins. It is to be born again. It is to rise from the water, to be a new creation in Him. And we are made perfect like our Father in heaven is perfect. Jesus' disciples must put Jesus and God first, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Jesus' disciples should not think they can find life through the wide gate or out there on the broad way. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Disciples, hear and build lives on Jesus' words. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, says Jesus, and acts on them, says Jesus, may be compared to a wise man, says Jesus, who built his house on the rock. And we know the story. The rains came, the floods came down, the waters came up, the hurricane happened, the tornado came by, and the house stood firm. Amen? Firm. True disciples follow Jesus wherever and whenever, regardless of the circumstance. I remember in our song this morning, it said, Lord, use me wherever you need me. I was always taught the Lord really doesn't need us, but He wants us. And He will put us in His service where He sees fit. If we're ready to see an opportunity to serve and to grasp it when that opportunity comes along. The disciples follow Jesus whenever and wherever and regardless of the circumstances. Then a scribe came and said to him, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus said to him, The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Another of the disciples said to him, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, Follow me and allow the dead to bury their own dead. Now I'm sorry, and I put it on here that I'm sorry, but the truth of the matter is, those who don't follow Jesus are dead even while they live. And a transition of not following Jesus to following Jesus is a transition from death to life. Being born again in the waters of baptism puts you in a new life, puts you in a place where your sins are forgiven, puts you in a place where you're perfect like your Father, puts you in a place where God looks upon you just as clean as He looks upon His own Son, whom He loves and in whom He is well pleased. Another of the disciples said to him, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, Follow me and allow the dead to bury their own dead. I don't know if any of you know Nat Cooper, who was a teacher down at Sunset, a man from Ireland who came and was on the faculty. And he wasn't on the faculty full time when I was there the whole time, but he came and he went. And Nat was teaching us in the book of Matthew. He said, It is possible that this man's father wasn't even dead or sick. It's just possible that this man's father was old, and this man just wanted to wait until he had done his duty toward his parents, that when he would just hang with them until his father was old and passed away, and then he'd be free to go. And Jesus says, Hey, look, your father can follow me too if he wants to. Maybe that would be the way it could be, you know? I mean, from Nat's point of view, any of them could follow. Let them follow, but let the dead bury their dead. The man who wrote this book is an excellent example. I'm talking about Matthew Levi, of course, the tax collector. The man who wrote this book is an excellent example of one who was busy getting up and following Jesus, putting everything else aside. Matthew had an important job, and he was under the authority of those who were over him, the Romans and the soldiers, and he was holding their money, and I'm sure he had to pass it on to somebody before he got up and left. But as soon as Jesus called him, he got up, put aside what he was doing, and follow Jesus. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax collector's booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. Sometimes disciples just cannot keep quiet. You ever come into that point where, you know, well, I might embarrass this person if I tell them about Jesus, but I'm just going to say it anyway. One time in a restaurant, I heard a man just telling his company, those who were with him, exactly how false the Bible is, that it's just a book that's not true at all. And as I got ready to leave, I just turned to him and I said, "Have you ever actually read the entire Bible?" And he said, "Yes, I have." I said, "Well, how could you come to that conclusion?" And he gave me several little reasons or excuses. And I urged him, I said, "You know, you might want to try to read it again." I'm not sure I convinced him, but sometimes you just can't keep your mouth shut. A disciple just has to tell sometimes, you know. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he entered the house, the blind men came up to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And they said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "It shall be done to you according to your faith." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, "See that no one knows about this." But they went out and spread the news about him throughout all the land. Wow. Sometimes a disciple just can't keep quiet. The things Jesus warned the apostles about could happen to us too. If we are truly his disciples, we might die for it. But the truth we tell remains the same, and it will never die. And of course, we could go on to say, if we die in the service of the Lord, amen. Because he's going to come wake us up one day, amen. Do I hear an amen? Can I get an amen? Amen. He is going to wake us up one day, amen. 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 Okay. "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, to be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. But beware of men, for they will hand you over to the courts and scourge you in their synagogues, and you will even be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles." Okay, there's a reason for our troubles, amen? "Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved." Now, I changed the words a little bit to fit my story on this one, but it says, "If none go with me." You know the song, don't you? "If none go with me, I still will follow." When you sing that, do you mean that? If none go with me, I still will follow. If you didn't know another living Christian, would you still follow Jesus? Amen. If none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. If none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back. I'll follow him. You remember Elijah, how he felt like he was the last man standing? It wasn't true, was it? But nevertheless, if none go with us, we still better follow. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and his children will rise up against his, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. Endured to the end. No turning back. I'll follow him. We have neither finished going through the cities of Israel nor the planet, since new ears that need to hear the gospel are born every day. Matthew 10:23, "But whenever they persecute you in one city, flee to the next, for truly I say to you, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel until the Son of Man comes." You can go to Israel right now and preach the gospel, because there are people being born there every day, and they'll grow up and they'll begin to hear, and you can tell them. If we must leave one place, we go to another. But in it all, we preach the gospel. I'm sorry that I took a step outside of the book of Matthew. Just to remind you, in Acts chapter 8, verse 4, after the death of Stephen, that those who were persecuted went about preaching the word. Those who were scattered one about preaching the word. Those who were being killed for preaching the word, those who were losing their homes for preaching the word, those who were losing their jobs for preaching the word, those who were relocating because of preaching the word, were going about preaching the word. Amen? It is enough to be like Jesus, and being like him includes sharing in the same sort of troubles he faced. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. It is enough for the disciples that he become like his teacher and the slave like his master. If they have called the head of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they malign the members of his household? So there's always somebody around to talk. There's always somebody around that I would call a fault finder. Somebody who's looking for problems in the preacher or problems in the elder or problems in a deacon or problems in their fellow members, problems in somebody, and not really looking at themselves. And then there's those on the outside, that was just people in the church. And then there are those on the outside who are picking on you too, but they call Jesus a devil. What do you expect? What do you expect? A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he become like his teacher and the slave like his master. If they have called the head of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they malign the members of his household? So if you need a definition of disciple, here it is. A disciple is someone who is to become like his teacher. Do not fear. Teach on, preach on, speak on, shout it from high places. Therefore do not fear them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light, and what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops. I remember when I was a little boy reading through the book of Matthew, and I wanted to get up on the housetop and proclaim things. I'd go out and preach to the chickens and the horse and the dog, and because it said, take the gospel to all creation, and I thought, well, those are creatures. But, you know, this is the idea that we have something to share with the world, and we need to be up on the housetop if necessary to get them to hear us. Disciples fear only God, and they persuade mankind. Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Look at this guy doing the backstroke in the lake of fire. Oh, and he's not alone. And he's not alone because there's a broad path that leads to destruction. But disciples don't need to live in fear because we're not bound for that lake of fire if we stay with Jesus. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear, you are more valuable than many sparrows. When I was a boy, I had hair here, and now I have hair here, and God knows the exact number. No matter what color I make it, God knows the exact number of hairs that I've got, and God's going to take care of me. I know that if I have followed Jesus, faithful to the end, then I know that I'm going to be with God for eternity. Disciples must admit affiliation with Jesus. This summer when I took a vacation, I went through Utah, and I just happened to come upon a Church of Christ when they were having their Bible school, vacation Bible school, and we had a good time. We really enjoyed it. John and I had fun with that family. We went to the Dinosaur Museum. We did a lot of cool stuff with them. And it was a father-in-law and a son-in-law that were preaching together. Now, isn't that cool? A father-in-law and a son-in-law that were preaching together. And whenever the son-in-law wouldn't agree with something that the father-in-law would say, he would joke and say, I'm not affiliated with him. I'm not affiliated with him. I think he gets that from one of these little cartoon movies. You're aware of that? I don't know where he's getting it, but I'm not affiliated with him. But are we affiliated with Jesus? We must never fail to let people know that we are affiliated with Jesus. There was the Veterans Stand Down Friday. I tried to go back in the afternoon, found out you guys had all left. John and I had an errand to run, came back, found out you closed early. I don't know what happened, but anyway, I got to go around and talk to a few people, give them some of Dan's brochure that he made, and I let them know that we were affiliated with Jesus. Amen. And people that walked up to our booth and talked to anybody that was there could learn that we were affiliated with Jesus. That's why we were there, to let them also become affiliated with Jesus. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Are you affiliated with Jesus? I hope so. Disciples must make Jesus priority over all. Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Are you affiliated with Jesus? Disciples must make Jesus priority over self. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. If none go with me, I still will follow. If none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back. We must follow Jesus Christ daily, Luke chapter 9. Not occasionally, not frequently, not regularly, but daily. And could we even say continually? Jesus called then. Jesus still calls today. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The implication is that we put on his yoke, we work for him. We put on his yoke, we're under his control. We put on his yoke, we belong to him. We put on his yoke, we follow him. Where he leads, I will follow. Disciples are the family of Jesus. The family of Jesus, these are the ones who follow God. While he was still speaking to the crowds, behold, his mother and brothers were standing outside, seeking to speak to him. Someone said to him, behold, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, seeking to speak to you. But Jesus answered the one who was telling him and said, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, behold, my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother. Last Sunday we had the lesson where we talked about growing up to be like our big brother. And that's really discipleship. That's what it's all about. Changing ourselves, letting God change us to be more like our big brother, and recognizing that that's our true, above all else, true family. Give what he gave you that you can't keep, and keep what he gives you that you can keep. Give what he gave you that you can't keep, and keep what he gives you that you can keep. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. I had this picture of a man looking out over the clouds, thinking. And that's something to ponder, isn't it? Whoever tries to save his life for himself is going to lose it. But if you give your life to Jesus, he gives you life eternal. Disciples know there is nothing on this earth that is worth going to the eternal lake of fire for. Why would anyone even think of making an exchange like that? Nothing on earth is worth going to hell for. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What? What do you have? What can you get that's greater than heaven? Disciples can do more when they are more like their master. When they came to the crowd, a man came up to Jesus, falling on his knees before him and saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and is very ill, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him." And Jesus answered and said, "You unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured at once. So something that disciples should not be: unbelieving or perverted. Apistos, without faith, without confidence, not believing. Perverted, diastromeno, if I say that right, means to turn out of the way, to turn aside from the way you'd ought to go, or to cause someone else to make defection from the way that should be gone. Jesus answered and said, "You unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you?" I hope he would never say that to us. I hope that, but yet these were his guys that were going to be his apostles and his close disciples, and they were messing up just like we mess up. Let's try our best to always be believing. Let's try our best to never turn away from Jesus or his way. Disciples need faith, and fasting can help too. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not drive it out?" And he said to them, "Because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." Well, I think I pointed it out before, but it always seemed peculiar to me that Jesus didn't have time to fast before he cast the demon out of the boy. And what does that tell us? It tells us that Jesus had already been in the habit of fasting. He was ready when the challenge came. Prayer and fasting, good to do. Might even help me lose some weight. Be great. Disciples need to convert ourselves to humility. You know, we grew up in a competitive world. We're always challenging ourselves or seeing if we can do better. Some people always have to one-up somebody else, keep up with the Joneses, or at least appear to. And it says, at that time the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." Will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So when we come to Jesus to be baptized into Christ, we better be hoping that that humility is in our heart, that we come there understanding we're dead in our sins and we totally depend on him for a new life, for forgiveness, to begin again, to become converted like little children. "Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Disciples need to be gentle, combine truth and love in word and deed. "And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea." So if Jesus gives you a choice someday, like, okay, I'm going to cause this little one to stumble, or I'm going to get this millstone and be cast into the sea, take the millstone. Amen? Take the millstone, because it's better to die in the sea than to die in the lake of fire for eternity. Amen? Disciples need to know what a stumbling block is and be careful not to be one. Woe to the world because of its stumbling blocks. It is inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to that man through whom the stumbling block comes. We need to continually try to keep ourselves under control. Try to keep ourselves under the control of Jesus and realize that what we do may have a negative impact on someone else. Are you a stumbling block or are you a stepping stone? If we have a positive impact on someone else, we're a stepping stone. If we have a negative impact on somebody else, we're a stumbling block. Let's not go there. Don't let yourself get in your own way of eternal life. Not only can we be a stumbling block to others, but if we're not careful, we can be a stumbling block to ourselves. If your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than to have two hands or two feet and be cast into the eternal fire. If your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out and throw it from you. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and to be cast into the fiery hell. Many people debate whether or not this is figurative or literal. I could say it's probably both, in my opinion. Probably both. Do what you need to do in order to follow Jesus. Remember that God's purpose is greater than your wants. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that their angels in heaven continually see the face of my Father, who is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Let's never forget the goal of Jesus, why he came and why God sent him. Everyone is someone that he wants to save. What does God want? God wants all the sheep. He doesn't want some of the sheep. He wants all the sheep. What do you think? If any man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone, I don't need all 100, I'll take 98. That's not God. God wants all the sheep. What do you think? If any man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go and search for the one that is straying? If it turns out that he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 which have not gone astray. So it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones perish. We're still in the context of not causing the little ones to stumble. We're still in the context of it would be better to have a millstone cast around your, tied around your neck and you cast. We're still in the context of don't turn people away from God. Maybe they're 100 years old, but their faith is small. Don't turn them away from God. Growing in discipleship is a step-by-step process. It starts when we first hear about Jesus. It gets greater when we believe in Jesus. It gets even greater when we decide that he is the one that we ought to follow. It gets even greater when we decide to change ourselves and our ways and give our life to him. It gets even greater when we go into the water to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins so that we can come out of the water born again and he's ready to shape us into this new servant with his yoke on our neck. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. If you have a need to be baptized into Christ this morning, we offer you the opportunity to do so. We can go over to Annas' house. We can go up to Lake Isabella. We can go somewhere. Don't worry about the algae bloom. We're talking about your eternal soul. Amen. If you need the prayers of the congregation also, we offer you an opportunity to let us know and let us pray for you right now. If you have something to confess that involves the entire congregation or several people in it that you need to make known publicly, you have that opportunity now. We want to help. We want to serve God and we want you to be a servant of God with us. We want disciples who aren't stumbling. We want disciples who aren't causing other people to stumble. We want disciples who are going to make it all the way to heaven. Let us help you if we can, as we stand and as we sing.